What is going on, guys? My name is John, and welcome back to yet another video. If you watched some of my recent videos, you know that I've been getting into shiny hunting just a little bit. The idea of hunting down every single alternate colored variant of these little guys has always piqued my interest, but as you can expect with over 1,000 different Pokemon, this is an extremely daunting task. Although normally your odds of finding one is 1 in 4,096 as of the most recent games, over the years Game Freak has implemented features in the game called method hunts that improve your odds of finding one, so much so that for some games, it's barely a hunt. But across every game in the franchise, which is the best method to get a ton of shinies? I decided to take this question to my Twitch chat and take on the easiest shiny hunting method in every main series game in the franchise and figure out just how easy or hard it is to do each one. This is how it went. Now, I need to preface that when I say I'm doing shiny hunting methods, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm hunting in any game that has shinies. While technically you can shiny hunt Pokemon like Mewtwo and Pokemon Red, the goal is to try one method per game that increases your chances above the base odds of the game. With that in mind, our first stop is going to be in Generation 2 with Pokemon Gold and Silver. Now, considering this is the first game in the series to introduce shiny Pokemon, there's only one method that improves our odds, which will be pretty consistent for the first few generations that we have to go through. Thankfully though, the odds of getting one in this game are pretty good. Come on, that's gotta count for like... Okay, I'll actually... While the odds for finding a shiny Gyarados are the best in the game, what if I told you there's a method here that brings your odds of finding a shiny from 1 in 8,192 all the way down to 1 in 64? Welcome to the Pokemon Daycare. Now, just like every other daycare in the Pokemon games, you can breed two compatible Pokemon and receive an egg to eventually hatch another Pokemon. While normally the odds of finding a shiny are the same odds that you would find in the wild, if you breed with a shiny Pokemon, you can bring down those odds significantly. Through the process of breeding the red Gyarados, you can pass down its shiny gene to nearly 200 different Pokemon in the game. However, the odds of hatching a shiny this way are dependent on what the Pokemon's gender ratio is. For example, Pokemon like Charmander, who have a high chance of being male, have a 1 in 64 chance of being shiny, while Pokemon like Lapras have a 1 in 128 chance because the ratio is 50-50. While this is all extremely confusing, this little guy changes everything. If you can manage to get your hands on a shiny Ditto, any Pokemon that's compatible for breeding has a 1 in 64 chance of being shiny, and when you compare those odds to any other Pokemon game, it begs the question, why don't people hunt in this game more? One big issue is that breeding to get an egg does take quite a while. Hatching them is also a little slow because the bike is... On the surface, it looks fast. It's so insanely slow. So getting eggs is honestly, out of the two of those problems, probably the least of our worries. Yeah, so that was a lie. On the first day of the entire challenge, I streamed hatching eggs for about 5.5 hours. So how many do you think I hatched? 50, 100, 200, 26. While the process of hatching an egg takes about 10 minutes, the real issue is that I wasn't getting any eggs. For quite a few streams, there are periods where I wouldn't find any for over 20 minutes, and because I'm bad at checking if my party is full of hatched eggs, there would be moments where I would forget and I would just be biking up and down the road for nothing. Despite all this downtime, I try my best to keep the morale high. This has to be the one. What? No way! Oh my god! What? How is that even possible? Oh, this is so crazy. We're finally done. On the third day, I streamed for nearly 6 hours and hatched a total of 19 eggs, which was the point where I decided that I should probably look into this whole process and see why I was getting so few. And to my surprise, I actually found out the problem. When it comes to breeding in every Pokemon game, there's a compatibility meter that determines the chance of you receiving an egg. For every 256 steps that you take, the game will roll for a chance for an egg to appear. In this game, the chance is based on the species of the two Pokemon, as well as the trainer ID attached to them. Because I used two different Pokemon, but they're from the same game, the chance of getting an egg was 9.5%, and when you consider how long it takes to bike that far, it all starts to add up. After switching to a Totodile from a different game, my odds jumped up to over 29%, and that was very apparent once I got into it. With this new method put into place, I was ready to grind. 120 eggs, which would equal double odds. If I don't get it here, that is bad luck. Bad luck. Oh my god! Dude, what are the odds? Let's go! Double odds! 128 egg. In total, this method took about 16 hours to find, which was obviously significantly longer than I anticipated, but surely the next one shouldn't be as bad, right?
It's very, very cute. A great first shiny to get in this challenge.
But I'm down for a little bit of a break. So let's switch it up. We're going to do something completely different. Now, I know this looks bad, but hear me out. Although Pokemon Crystal is nearly the exact same game as Gold and Silver, there was an interesting little feature that was added to the daycare center to improve our odds. Hi, sir. I'm the daycare man. Do you know about eggs? You don't know the half of it! I was raising Pokemon with my wife, you see. We were shocked to find an egg! Wow! Well, wouldn't you like this egg? Not really. However, this is another method hunt. This egg that we have, our little odd egg, every time you receive one from the man, which you only get one, but if we reset, we can keep getting them over and over, it'll randomly generate one of the baby Pokemon that are in the game, excluding Togepi. But here's the catch. This egg isn't 1 in 64 odds. It's not base odds. It's not even close. This is a 1 in 8 chance of being shiny. And since we're guaranteed an egg, there's going to be no downtime. We hatch the egg. If it's not shiny, we reset and then do it again. Because there's no way to tell which of the 7 baby Pokemon was going to come out of the egg, this is a fun little hunt to do because really any shiny was cool to get, aside from Igglybuff, but it was fun to bet with my chat to see what we would get each time. Admittedly, I was worried about having a poor reaction because nearly all of the baby shinies look insanely close to their actual shiny, but the one I ended up getting was arguably the one that I wanted the most. Egg number 3! Is it shiny? Oh, wait! I think that is! Hold on! I'm like 99% sure that's shiny. Wait! Oh my goodness! It's real! That's confirmed! That's a shiny! Alright, 2 shinies in one day? That's not bad. We're going to another shiny method. Believe it or not, the entirety of Generation 3 did not have a shiny method hunt, so our next stop in the adventure will take us to Pokemon Platinum. In the story, once you see every Pokemon available in the Sinnoh region, Professor Roam will give you the National Dex upgrade as well as the Poké Radar. This item allows you to find some exclusive Pokemon not normally available in some locations, but additionally, you have better odds to find a shiny. Now, if you're anything like me when I was younger, I was way too dumb to figure out how to do this, so let me explain this in the most simple way possible. The goal is to repeatedly encounter and catch the same Pokemon over and over. When you use the radar, up to 4 grass patches will flash on the screen, and if there's one patch that's 4 steps away in any direction, that's the patch you should walk into. In the event that there isn't one, if you walk another 50 steps in the grass, you can reuse the radar and get new patches to appear. To ensure that you don't see anything else while you're chaining these encounters, use repels during the entire process to avoid wild battles. If at any point you encounter a different Pokemon or run away from a battle, your chain will break, you'll have to start all over again. On the bottom screen, you can keep track of how many Pokemon you've caught or defeated in a row, and the goal is to get to a chain of 40. While your odds do increase for every Pokemon that you chain up to that number, 40 is the golden number, as you have a 1 in 200 chance of each patch having a shiny, or just about a 1 in 50 chance if all 4 appear at the same time. Now when you look at this, it seems kinda easy, right? All the problems seem really avoidable, and if you're patient enough, it should all work out. Unfortunately, there are a few more issues. The most notable one is that if you do everything correctly, if you go to every patch 4 steps away, you catch the Pokemon, and are constantly using repels, the chain can still break. So we get to our hotel. And the hotel broke my chain. That's the end of that story. This has a 2% chance of occurring for every patch you walk into, so if you end up failing like I did, don't get too discouraged. On top of all this, there are even more really specific rules that you have to follow. I feel like that's sick. That's nice. I feel like all of them have eye doctors now. My chain, why? Why did my chain break? So if at any point you walk out of the sight of all the patches on your screen, the chain will immediately break, and as you can see, this can happen even when you're still in the grass. Despite a pretty upsetting fail, I eventually made it to the best odds. Just one more. One more. That's it.
1, 2, 3.
Okay. All right. We've now got to a chain of 40, which means now, as long as I'm not an absolute idiot, I'm guaranteed to get a shiny. That doesn't mean that the next Pokemon that appears is going to be shiny, and I still can technically fail it if I'm really, really, really stupid. But now, we game. Oh, there it is! I think that was it. And that's, okay, hold on. I love it! Oh, man. Wow. Another member in our little gauntlet. But here's the thing. If you were paying attention to when I got that encounter, even though it was on an outside tile, which are very dangerous to continue your chain, my chain is still active. So I can still get more shinies. But let's see how many shinies I can get before my chain breaks. I'd also like to let you know, you guys get to vote for the next... Did I press up?
I think I pressed up by accident.
No! I got ruined by a bug!
Well, that's that, I guess.
Although that was pretty upsetting, I knew there was something we could do to make it all better. Okay, before we go on to the next game, there is one more thing that I would like to do. We initially were going to hunt Chatot, but Chatot was too hard, and admittedly, I got kind of bored of it. However, Chatot in this game has a fun little trick. It has the special move of Chatter. In this game, Chatter has an out-of-battle effect, where if you use Chatter, you can record with your 3DS's mic and make your own custom cries. So I felt we should go through a little gauntlet of testing out different cries and seeing how they sound. Press the A or B button, then speak into the microphone. Okay. What is going on, guys? My name is John. All right. Let's hear it.
It didn't register.
Okay. I'll say subscribe.
Subscribe!
Oh,
it didn't start screaming at my 3DS for what?
Okay, that one was a little bit more audible. And for the finale, I will scream. I will mute my microphone. You're just going to see me open my mouth as I do it. Let's hear what I sound like if I was a screaming Chatot.
Go, Chatot! I think we're ready to move on.
With all that done, it was time to move on to the next game of the challenge, which might come as a surprise. So you're probably wondering, what am I doing in this game? There is a method in this game. It's just a little bit more unique. We can get a shiny using
her.
Essentially, by having this Wigglytuff in my party, my chances of getting a shiny are really good. A shiny Meowth, which I know you're thinking, how is that possible? This is an exploit in the game called the Cute Charm Glitch. So if your trainer ID and your secret ID are close enough in number to each other, Pokemon with the ability Cute Charm, based on a specific nature, have a chance of increasing your shiny odds. Tell me a Pokemon that I should go and get. Miltank? No, Mareep, you're absolutely right. Oh, Mareep would be so sick. I sense it. Oh, that's not what I was sensing Mareep. No. No, I don't want a shiny snake.
Bad.
Bad. No, I don't want a shiny rat. Get it out of here. Goodbye. I don't want a shiny Bellsprout. Are you not listening to me? Be gone. I don't want a shiny snake. You're not listening to my demands. It's not a want, it's a need. Give me what I want.
There's no way!
Woo! Alright, we got our shiny Mareep. With another one completed, it's time to move on to Gen 5, which surely contains a unique and special method that we haven't seen before, and... Generation 5 is, in my opinion, the beginning of Game Freak's acknowledgement of the community enjoying shiny hunting. However, this game isn't exactly a great example of that. Once again, this game only has one method to hunt, which is breeding, but believe it or not, this is actually quite a lot different than Generation 2. The method we're going to be taking on this game is the Masuda method. To explain it very easily, it's just breeding for shiny eggs. However, the process is completely streamlined, so we have to jump through as many hoops as last time. Rather than having a shiny Pokemon, this method requires you to have two compatible Pokemon from different regions. That's it. And because Ditto can breed with any Pokemon that can be hatched, all you need is a foreign Ditto and whatever Pokemon that you want to use. Unlike every other hunt that I've done before in this challenge, I decided to let my chat take the wheel on what I should go for. I'm going to give you guys two options because there's one that I think that you will like and another one that is an old hunt of mine that I never finished. Is that our first option? Venipede? Oh... It's Zoroa! And this was the 2012 hunt that I never finished. 88 votes to 88 votes. This is insane. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna call my mom, and she will decide for us. Hi, Mom.
Hi, John.
How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I need your help. Based on their descriptions, you tell me which one you think is better. To protect themselves from danger, they hide their true identities by transforming into people and Pokemon. It discovers what's going on around it by using the feelers on its head and tail, It's brutally aggressive.
I kind of like the transforming.
Why don't you like the other one?
Because he's aggressive.
Spoken like a true pacifist. Thank you, Mom. So as you can imagine, the hunting process for this one was nearly identical to the Totodile hunt, but it's important to note that we're now
in the future.
This is 2011, and we have tools at our disposal now to officially hunt this as quickly as possible. The most obvious thing is that the bike is faster. Although Zorua takes about 1,000 more steps to hatch than the starters do, this, along with having a Pokemon with the ability Flame Body to have the amount of steps required, resulted in the first egg hatching in 1.5 minutes, which is a pretty remarkable improvement. So surely this won't take as long, right? Well, there are a couple issues. What are the odds in this game? I actually don't know. 1 in 2048? No, it's way lower than that. 1365. Yikes. Okay. I did not anticipate that. At this point in time, I thought that the Masuda method odds have always been the same, so I expected that this was going to be a 1 in 683 chance, and with this, I knew I was going to have to strap in for a pretty long journey. Additionally, hatching eggs quickly became more difficult than I thought it would be. For some reason in these games, if you have a full party of Pokemon, the daycare man will not check for new eggs, and with my current track record of not paying attention, there were times where I was once again biking with a full party of hatched eggs for no reason, which resulted in me hatching about 30 eggs within the first hour of this hunt. Is it better than Gen 2? Absolutely. But with the odds as low as they are, I had to kick it into overdrive.
Chad, what was Nintendo originally known for making?
Quiz of the day?
That's right. They used to make playing cards in the 1800s. I think 1896 is when they made them.
I just dropped my DS! Oh, that's not good!
Plug it! The guy! Guy is so blue! I honestly, admittedly, thought he was brown.
Although I may have not made this sound like it was a tedious task, this was actually the longest hunt this far in the challenge, as it took over 18 hours just to find this one shiny. In hindsight, Venipede would have been a lot faster since it requires half the amount of steps to hatch, but regardless, it was nice to finally finish this decade-old hunt. Our next stop is going to be for the sequels, Black 2 and White 2. Now, when you look at the available mechanics for this game, you might be quick to note that there doesn't really seem to be anything different in this game from its predecessors, and to be honest, you're right. In terms of mechanics that we've looked at so far for shiny hunting, there isn't anything new in this game. However, as I mentioned before, this gem was the real start of the shiny hunting wave, and it's all thanks to one item, the shiny charm. In these games, if you manage to catch every single Pokemon in the Pokedex and talk to Professor Juniper, she'll reward you with an item called the shiny charm, a pendant that increases the likelihood of encountering a shiny Pokemon. This means that for every wild Pokemon that you encounter in the game, the rate is increased from 1 in 8,192 to 1 in 2,731. Because this game doesn't offer any other new methods we've tackled before, I figured this would be the best game to test out how good our odds are by just walking around. So after looking over some areas of my chat, we decided to hunt on Route 14, as there were a bunch of really neat Pokemon to find, most importantly, Absol and Altaria. In my opinion, these two are dream shinies to get, and with their combined percentages, it looked like we would have pretty good odds of finding one. In addition to this, this area also contains a new mechanic called Double Grass. By walking in darker patches of grass, there's a potential to encounter two Pokemon at the same time, but in turn, the Pokemon will be twice as hard to catch. This obviously means that I'll get to see significantly more Pokemon than usual, but I also had another trick. Let me break down how we're going to get encounters. Our catching Pokemon, it's a sweet little Smeargle, with Spore, False Web, Recover, and Sketch. And then we have Watchog, which has Illuminate, which raises the likelihood of meeting a wild Pokemon. That's literally it. I also have a smoke ball in case I can't run away. So I'm guaranteed to run away from every single encounter that I get into. But that's literally it, chat. With the combination of Doubles Grass and Illuminate, I was able to encounter about 250 Pokemon in the first hour, which when you compare that to every other hunt I had done up until this point, it definitely made me feel better about the amount of progress I was making each stream. This of course doesn't really matter at all if your luck is terrible, so with a little bit of grinding and one very expensive room change, I was ready to meet my fate.
27, 30, we're one off from being of odds. We check one more after that. Cause that's when we're over odds. Cause now we're at odds. But this right here?
Yeah, we're over odds. To be fair, the chance of reaching over odds is pretty common, but surely it will show up soon, right?
Moving out of the way so it would focus on him. Hey everyone, welcome to stream. Today I've lost my mind. I'm gonna find the shiny. Just you wait.
that's gonna be here right now. Think of all the little guys we can get here. Come on! Of all the time that my stupid webcam blasting.
That's so dumb, bro.
My heart's going through my chest. That's so sick. Of all the Pokemon to get, this was the second one. Second one on the list, Absol was number one, but I love Altaria. In total, this took about 12 hours to find, which if I didn't reach such a high number, this wouldn't have been too bad. But the next games are the start of something new. Our next shiny hunt brings us to Generation 6 with Pokemon X and Y. Now, right off the bat, we've successfully entered
the third dimension.
All of our flat shinies are now available in beautiful HD-ish quality. In addition to getting access to models like this, there's one major change that occurs in this game that will make this challenge a whole lot different. The shiny odds are halved. For all wild Pokemon past Generation 6, the odds are 1 in 4,096. It's important to note that from now on, every game I play will also have the shiny charm, which will bring it down even further to 1 in 1365. But obviously, this alone isn't going to be our method. In this section, we have to take on the most grueling task in this gauntlet. We have to become one with the fish. And don't worry, Chad, I have... Oh! Well, if you think about it, that does count. We can just move on. Nice job, everybody! We did it! We found it in record time! So, let me explain to you how to chain fish in this game for our next shiny hunting method. So essentially, what you want to do is fish. That's it. You just fish, and then eventually, it should be shiny. Not only is this method straightforward, but the process is even easier. After fishing up 20 Pokemon in a row, the odds increase to 1 in 100, which is definitely really attainable. However, just like the PokeRadar, even if you do everything correctly, you can still fail. Before we start, even though I already have one chained, I believe I need proper attire. Okay, I'm ready! I puked and clicked it so quick! Already failed? Four in?
Single digit frame window. Well, that's stupid.
To be honest, this is pretty devastating because it took me nearly 3 minutes to reach a chain this high, but I picked myself back up and continued the grind.
Redemption! Yeah! The vest works!
So here's one issue. I have nothing to catch this. Also, it has takedown, I'm pretty sure, so that's not good.
Let's go!
Super lucky. Fast find, fast catch for a very hard to catch Pokemon. I don't know if that's the best shiny we've got so far, but it's definitely up there. That was unbelievably fast. Because I found that so quickly during the stream, I decided to immediately jump into Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. Although there weren't any shiny methods in Generation 3, the remakes came through with arguably one of the most unique shiny hunting methods in the franchise, Dexnav hunting. With this method, a Pokemon will appear in the overworld, and you have to slowly walk up to it in order to encounter it. To be entirely honest with you, I'm not very knowledgeable in this. But from what I understand, every time you encounter a Pokemon, the search level in your bottom screen will permanently increase, which also in turn increases the chance for a shiny to appear. Although you can chain encounters over and over in the same fashion as the PokeRadar, the only benefit I can tell is that you get a much higher chance on the 50th and 100th Pokemon that you encounter. Because I'm dumb, I decided to hunt in Shoal Cave, which is significantly harder than the regular grass encounters. In those scenarios, the Pokemon will stay in a specific part of the grass, waiting for you to walk over to it. However, in caves, the Pokemon will just bounce around until you finally catch it. Speaking of bouncing, the target for this game is going to be the Rotund Sfeel. At my current search level of over 400, my chances of encountering a shiny Sfeel is about 1 in 333, and the more I encounter, the better my chances will be. Because your search level caps at 999, the best odds I can get are about 1 in 200, but as you can imagine, that would be a pretty tedious amount to reach. Regardless, I started making progress on hunting down this little ball.
What is happening? Am I hacking the system?
Chad, I don't have anything planned for the rest of the stream. I've been live for 40 minutes.
Okay.
What are the odds of that? Like, that's really, that is unbelievably lucky. Show no action replay?
No! No cheats!
Okay, I don't know how to do the rest of the stream, but I guess we'll figure it out. Out of all the hunts this challenge to finish quickly, I was beyond grateful it was this one. Partly because the method was pretty foreign to me, but mostly because I could take on my favorite method right after. Across every Pokemon game, Generation 7 contains, in my opinion, the best shiny hunting method, SOS hunting. When you enter a wild battle in these games, if you bring down the Pokemon's health enough, it has the chance to call for help, which will cause another wild Pokemon to appear in the battle, just like they do in the totem fights in the story. If you knock out that new Pokemon, you can chain encounters of fighting these summoned Pokemon over and over, which, as you can expect, increases your chances of encountering a shiny Pokemon. The reason why I enjoy this method so much is that as long as you're attentive, prepared, and patient, you can basically guarantee getting any shiny you want to look for. But what if I told you you could make it easier? Let me introduce you to Trevenant. Although realistically any high-level Pokemon is good for the job, Trevenant fixes a pretty large issue in trying to hunt with this method. Now, normally when you're chaining, eventually the first Pokemon you encounter is going to end up using all of its moves, which of course will lead to it using Struggle and potentially ending the entire battle. This Trevenant has the ability Harvest, which has a 50% chance to restore a used berry at the end of every turn. By giving it a Lepa Berry, Trevenant will essentially have infinite moves, as if it gets too low, the ability will activate and consistently replenish for the entire duration of the battle. But how does that help in SOS hunting? By using the move Skill Swap, we can swap the ability to the opposing Pokemon, and with the power of the move Trick, we can also move the berry. This means that as long as we have enough moves to keep our chain going, that Pokemon on the right will never get knocked out. With all that set up, I started looking through the decks of my chat to figure out what our target was gonna be. Hey chat, you wanna know a fun fact? I've told this story about this specific Wingull. I was playing Sun and Moon the day it came out. I was playing with my friend. I went to the area where you catch Wimpod, and I grinded it up to get Galissapod, and I was like, oh my god, Galissapod! Yeah! The first grass encounter I got into was this Wingull, and I got hit and immediately ejected from the battle. So this Wingull was never found. I guess I should reclaim it, shouldn't I? Now let's explain the odds. So if you play Pokemon Ultra Sun and Moon and done SOS hunting, you'd know the odds are really good. 1 in 273 after getting a chain of 30 Pokemon defeated, and to be honest, I was totally expecting that to be the same here. Come to find out, not only are Sun and Moon's shiny rate different, its chain amount is different too. In order to get the best odds, you need to get a chain of 70, but on top of that, the odds are 1 in 683 with the shiny charm. At the end of the day, does it make the process any harder? Not really, but I knew if I wanted to get this redemption, I was going to have to grind for it.
That's all good, though.
Oh! There it is! I noticed that immediately. Our shiny Wingull, I've redeemed myself finally. And additionally, that's three shinies in one stream. First ball, baby! We did it! You were here! With another quick hunt completed, it was time to move on to the next game. Now, you've probably been thinking, well, if the odds are better to SOS in Ultra Sun and Moon, why didn't I just hunt in that game? And that's because this game actually has an additional method on top of that. In the post-game of the story, you get access to the Ultra Warp Ride, which is the hub for catching basically every legendary from Generations 1 through 7. By collecting yellow rings and dodging blue mines, you can travel through space and enter wormholes that contain Pokemon. Aside from legendaries and Ultra Beasts, you can encounter regular Pokemon, which have an increased chance of being shiny. In order to calculate the chance of finding one, there are two factors: what type of wormhole you entered, and how far you've traveled. In this mode, there are four different types of wormholes: regular, one ring, two ring, and the sucking ones. For the best odds, you want to go into the sucking ones, but if you haven't caught every legendary, these are basically guaranteed to be one, but the double ring wormholes still give amazing odds. When it comes to distance, there isn't any indicator of how far you are, and you're only notified of the distance once you go through a wormhole. The best advice I can give is to just go as far as you can, as your odds improve the longer that you go. If you travel over 5,000 light years and enter the sucking wormholes, you have a 36% chance to encounter a shiny, and even the one ring wormholes have a 10% chance at that distance. Initially, I was pretty bad at making my way through the warp ride, but eventually, I got the hang of it. I'm gonna take that one. Alright, this one seems pretty good, chat. Oh! I did it! Yeah! Yeah, it sucks! It sucks, but it's shiny, so it doesn't matter! There we go. 17 encounters. Oh! My first crit capture in the video? Alright. Our final shiny of the 3DS games, which is kind of insane to think about. And we can finally now move on to the last console in this challenge. The Nintendo Switch. Wait. That means we have to start with No. Our next stop is Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, and I've played a bit of this game. The shiny end method we're going to take on here is the catch combo. Now, odds are you've probably seen my video where I basically caught every shiny in this game using that method, but let me give you a super straightforward explanation. By catching the same Pokemon repeatedly, you can start a catch combo. After catching 31 in a row, the next Pokemon of the same species that spawns will have an increased rate of being shiny. With a shiny charm, as well as using lures that increase spawn and shiny rates, you have a 1 in 273 chance, which was the same amount that it was in Ultra Sun and Moon's SOS. As long as you don't close out your game, catch a different species of Pokemon, or have a Pokemon run away from you, it's nearly impossible to fail a hunt. After letting my chat vote, they decided that I should hunt Vulpix to work closer to my shiny living decks, and I think the game knew that a seasoned veteran like me didn't need to dive too deep into showing off this hunt.
On the Let's Go Throwing Master.
Oh! Wow! That was a little faster than I thought it would be.
Alright, well, let's get it. That was, 40, this is the 43rd, so it was a 42 chain, super fast, great shiny, I've been around this block before. Alright, I'm done with Let's Go, I didn't even get to enjoy this game. I honestly, believe it or not, I was excited to play this one. Now, we get to go to Gen 8.
Jumping to Generation 8 with Pokemon Sword and Shield is quite an interesting game, as this is the first game that has a paid DLC expansion. Now, although the base game does have a shiny hunting method, it's notorious for being horribly coded, confusing, but most importantly, boring. The DLC, however, introduced an additional method, so I did a survey with my chat, and they decided that I should take that on instead. Inside the Crown Tundra, you're able to enter a location called the Max Lair. Here you're able to go on Dynamax Adventures, a feature that allows you to rent Pokemon to fight legendaries and eventually capture them. On the way to your big battle, you face off against three other Pokemon, and upon defeating and capturing them, you can swap them out for a better advantage in later battles. After defeating a legendary or losing all of your lives, you're able to keep one Pokemon from the list of what you caught in your adventure, and these have an increased chance of being shiny. With the shiny charm, you have a 1 in 100 chance for each Pokemon you obtain, which is pretty insane considering that applies to the legendary Pokemon as well. Because I ended up still having the route for Rayquaza saved, my chat and I figured that would be one of the coolest ones to go for, so I started chipping away at those encounters. Now, when you look at this method at face value, having 4 chances at 1 in 100 odds every time you complete it sounds like it would be an insanely fast hunt, but those odds are good for a reason. Dynamax Adventures take forever. If you take off animations and have an amazing team of NPCs playing with you, at best it will take you like 10 minutes to reach and defeat the legendary, which means you average about 25 encounters per hour, and that's if you beat Rayquaza. After an hour of playing, I managed to encounter 19 Pokemon, and when you consider that you're not guaranteed to get a shiny after 100, this is gonna take a while. For the next few streams, I made my rounds taking down Rayquaza after Rayquaza, but even after 90 attempts, I was still losing to it. I kept pushing on. Yeah! They didn't even need to check them! They just come to me!
That's a great shiny, number one.
Number two!
We could get another.
That's okay. I'll take Sneasel any day of the week. Now it's time to take on everyone's favorite game, Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. As you can probably assume, since these games are faithful remakes, this game also contains the PokeRadar. You're probably wondering, well, if it's the same thing, why are you hunting with this method? Which is a valid question, but this updated version actually has quite a few differences. The most notable thing is that the shiny odds are higher. In fact, the odds go from 1 in 200 to 1 in 100 because the base odds are half of the original game's. In addition, rather than the grass tiles quickly flashing on the screen, they're now permanently visible until you get into an encounter. Sounds pretty good, right? Here's where the method becomes awful. Remember how in the old radar method, there was a 2% chance that your chain would just randomly break? That feature was kept in, and you'd probably assume that the percentage would be like 4% to counteract the improved base odds, right? A little lame, but it makes sense, right? No. For some reason, they made it 7%, which is absurdly high. Just like the originals, you have to reach a 40 chain for the best odds, but I'll let you know right off the bat that if you're expecting to come even close to that number, you're lying to yourself. In Diamond and Pearl, if you go to the furthest grass spot every time, you have a 44.6% chance of reaching a 40 chain, which doesn't sound very good until you realize that BDSP has a 5.5% chance of doing that. You have the same odds for getting a 40 chain in Diamond as getting an 11 chain in these games.
So in general, this is a very easy shiny hunting method. If you're lucky. Like, distance-wise, it won't break the chain, but if it has a 7% chance.
And
and that's a great showcase of it.
So with all this in mind, what's the best number to stop at? In reality, it doesn't matter. It's all based on how good you want your odds to be. A very popular one that people go for is the 17 method, which I don't think I need to explain too much, but you have a 29% chance to reach this chain in turn for 1 in 1986 odds. While this sounds pretty terrible, you have to keep in mind how many encounters you can get. Because the movement is actually pretty fast in this game, I managed to get nearly 1,000 encounters in the first hour, which kind of blew me away, so I knew that if I kept at it, it should appear pretty quickly. That is if I don't run out of repels. After robbing the elderly and quickly getting my chain back, I grabbed out another 1,000 counters before finally redeeming myself.
It's gonna happen. 3,200. I can sense it.
Oh! Never mind! 3,104 encounters!
Shiny Smeargle! I love this little guy!
Oh, that's so sick. Wait, level is like the exact color palette. It's like almost exactly the same. And a crit. Oh, wait, no, that's super yellow. Oh, I messed up, chat. Oh, I'm sorry. In the picture, it looked a little bit lighter than that.
But now we get to take on my favorite Pokemon game to shiny hunt in, and arguably the one I'm most experienced in.
All right, chat. So we are now in Pokemon Legends. Now, if you know anything about this game, Pokemon Legends is arguably one of the easiest, if not the easiest game to get shinies in. So this one should be pretty quick. In this game, when you talk to the Jubilife Guard to choose a location to travel to, little icons can appear on the screen. These are known as mass outbreaks, which are essentially little swarms of 10 to 15 Pokemon in one area. In order to determine the shiny odds for these, you actually have to check your Pokedex. For each Pokemon in the game, there's an extensive list of research tasks that you can complete, and if you do enough of them, you can reach research rank 10, which boosts your shiny odds for that Pokemon. If you complete all the tasks for that Pokemon, the rank will update to be perfected, and you'll get an even higher bonus. If we pull up my Pokedex and look at all of our tasks, I have perfected the entirety of the Pokedex. So the odds for every Pokemon on the map is the highest that they could possibly be. So I would imagine that this will be embarrassingly quick. The shiny odds actually differ depending on if you're doing a mass outbreak or a massive mass outbreak. For the regular ones, if you have the shiny charm and have also perfected your Pokedex, the odds are 1 in 128, and for massive outbreaks, it's slightly higher with 1 in 216, but in turn, you can see significantly more Pokemon, as there are typically about 12 different outbreaks available on the map at once. Now, if you watch me perfect my Pokedex, you know that finding shinies is just about as easy as going outside and finding air, and even without going to the mass outbreaks, the odds of finding a shiny by just flying around is pretty high.
Is Eevee even an outbreak here?
Oh! Oh, that doesn't count! Oh, it doesn't count for the... That's not an outbreak Pokemon.
Stupid.
Okay, we're still looking. That doesn't count! That doesn't count! Although technically this was a method hunt because perfecting your dex also applies to Pokemon outside of outbreaks, I wanted to find it through the most popular method. But that didn't stop the game from dishing out more of them. Wait! 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 Ah! That's stupid! Not again! That doesn't count! That's not an outbreak shiny! Bad. Oh! Oh! Oh my god! 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 Yes! Yes! I got one! Oh, that's so sick!
I got my shiny bird. Arguably one of the cooler shinies that I've got in this challenge. But that leaves us with only one more game to get a shiny in.
Pokemon Scarlet and Violet are currently the most recent games in the franchise, and although these games also have an updated shiny hunting method with mass outbreaks, there's one more new method that I wanted to check out. Sandwich making. By crafting sandwiches in the picnic menu, you're able to add overworld buffs that last for 30 minutes, like faster egg hatching, more experience points, and easily the most useful, increasing your shiny odds. By using Herba Mystica that you can receive from Terra Raids, you can activate Sparkling Power, which increases your chance of finding a wild shiny to 1 in 683 of the shiny charm, which may not sound too great, but there are a couple things to note. Unlike every other game we've played except for Legends, Pokemon appear in great numbers in the wild in this game. Despite the rate being worse than some other recent games, times, it's pretty easy to see 10, 15, and even 20 Pokemon at once, so I can confidently say this method is pretty efficient in grabbing shinies. In addition, with making sandwiches, you can also target a specific type of Pokemon. By doing this, you have a significantly higher chance of encountering the Pokemon that you actually want, so long as the rest of the area isn't entirely that one type that you're looking for. After talking it over with my chat, it seemed like the best play for my last shiny would be to get something from Area Zero. Nearly everything available there is extremely cool to get, but I let my chat vote between arguably the two coolest Paradox Pokemon in Violet, Iron Thorns and Iron Valiant. To my surprise, they chose Tyranitar, so I made my sandwich and started to chase down the final Pokemon. By making a rock-type sandwich, nearly every spawn was Iron Thorns, with the occasional Lycanroc and Iron Hands at the bottom of the cliff. It's important to note that any Pokemon I see has the improved chance of being shiny, however, unlike any other game, there's zero indicator as if the Pokemon is shiny or not, aside from when you actually get into a battle with it. This means that it's super easy to miss your target, but thankfully Iron Thorns shiny is pretty different. I mean, getting this many encounters in Oh, there it is! Oh my god! Oh, it looks so sick! Oh, it looks so sick! Oh, I've never seen that before! I just knew of what it looked like! That's so sick! What a great final shiny to get for this challenge. That's amazing. What do I catch it in? Heavy? With that done, chat, I have successfully caught a shiny in every Pokemon game that has a shiny hunting method. But the question you might be asking is, what did I do? After basically trying every method in the franchise, which is the best to hunt with? And to be honest with you, it's really hard to narrow it down. If we disregard older games not having a majority of the current Pokedex available to be caught, I still think that SOS hunting is by far the best method due to its consistency and ability to do it at literally any point in the storyline. On the other hand, Scarlet and Violet sandwiches are extremely broken, and if you can get past the extreme farming for Urban Mystica, it's arguably the best method of the moment for how diverse of a list of Pokemon you can get, and will eventually be able to get with the DLC expansions. Overall, if you have any interest in getting into shiny hunting, I'd strongly suggest giving nearly all of these a try, and let me know in the comments below if there's a specific one that you like the most. Aside from that, that's gonna do it for today's video. If you like the video, leave a like and subscribe for more content. If you have any suggestions for videos that you'd like to see, leave a comment below. Other than that, thank you all for watching, and I'll catch you on the next one.